There's no doubt the collections can become an obsession for some people. Now, whether it's stamps or ceramic cats, something takes over the collector in the quest to find the next must-have addition to their display cabinet. But how do the partners of collectors feel about the growing army of objects in their homes? Such as, well, when I first met my husband and he had a collection of eagles around the house. They're all gone now. Although he did get a tattoo of one on his back, which is a little bit hard for me to get rid of, but give me time. The ABC's Collectors Program returns to the airwaves tonight with gas masks and rare Volkswagens. Telephone collector Dave Dockray appeared on Collectors last year. Hi, Dave.
Hello there.
How did you get to be a collector of telephones?
Well, I guess with the passage of time, I actually started as an apprentice technician, and I worked as a telephone technician for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been retired 10 years, but I had nearly 40 years with Telstra, and I retired in the year 2000. And I suppose probably for 10 years before I retired, I developed an interest in the older, the very early telephones and switchboards and the like.
So what sort of telephones do you have?
Well, I've got a lot of them, but my preference really is for the very old ones, some of the very early Ericssons. In the early days in Australia, we didn't manufacture any phones at all.
Where did they come from?
There was a mixture. The earliest, I guess, were from Sweden, the early Ericsson phones. And I suppose in the early 20th century, say around 1910 to 1920, we started to get a lot also from the US and the UK. Pretty much all of our Bakelite ones that you might remember, the black ones that, you know, with the nickel-plated dial that were probably in, you know, a lot of our mums or grandmums' homes, most of those would have been made in the UK.
How do you source these phones?
Oh, a number of ways. You know, I get them from collectors. I get people contact me. They've got, you know, phones that have been laying around. I've got a couple of quite special phones in my collection that, you know, the family of a, you know, a deceased granddad or something like that, they contacted me, and I've got some, you know, pretty special phones that way.
Tell us about some of them. What are some of the more quirky ones you've got?
Quirky ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have a few. I'm probably a little bit different to a lot of people because phones do occupy a fair bit of space. People restrict themselves either to an era or a manufacturer or something like that, whereas I kind of don't. I've got all sorts of phones from all sorts of manufacturers and from a lot of different countries. And even some of the modern ones, if I see something that's quite unique in some way, well, then I'll try to buy it. And a lot of those I see on eBay. In fact, nowadays, you know, I see a lot of those quirky ones on eBay. I've got one that's my chiropractor would love to get from me, and it just looks like a human backbone, sort of around the neck area, and part of it you lift off. But it is just like, you know, part of a human skeleton.
I hear you've got a naked lady one.
I do. I've got a couple of risque telephones.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, yes, is a naked lady, and you actually, you pick it, she's kneeling actually, so you pick it up off the desk and you kind of listen into her chest and talk into a fig leaf that's in an appropriate spot.
What era is that from?
It's a reasonably late model, probably 1980 or so.
Okay.
But yes, it's not the sort of one you'd really want to use in public too much. You know?
No.
People would give you, you know, a few glances.
It sounds like fun, though.
It is. And look, I enjoy, I guess I enjoy the first part of my collection is really the old stuff, and I just enjoy the workmanship and, you know, the work that has gone into some of these things. They are just really lovely designs. Ericsson particularly, Lars Magnus Ericsson, he was probably one of the first to really capture the aesthetics, but also a phone that works really well. And some of his designs, they lasted for decades.
Yeah, that evolution of the phone, I remember I actually worked a plug and cord switchboard. I knew how to when I was in my teens.
Yep.
You don't see them anymore either. But the old heavy black phones, I remember my grandparents having one of those. I'm sure every house had one just with the normal dial, but they were so heavy as well. And when you think of the mobiles that are so light and you can barely feel them, it is a very quick evolution as well over the years.
Oh, it is, undoubtedly. I mean, some of those black phones that you talked about then, they could have gone into service in the 1930s or 1940s. And they could have been still there working along merrily 50 years later. Whereas nowadays, particularly with mobiles, because the platform and the facilities change so much, we change the mobiles a lot. I mean, even mobiles, that is a classic example of miniaturisation and, you know, constant development. The first ones...
they were bricks, weren't they?
They weighed as much as a house brick, probably 3 to 4 kilos. And now some of those, you know, those cute little things that work pretty well, they're about 300 grams.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, a huge step. And, I mean, I've been involved with the technology for, you know, 50 years now, and it still astounds me that you can get the sort of level of facilities in such a little container.
Yeah. You know? Dave, where do you keep all your phones?
Oh, yes. The subject of your talk today was...
Yeah, what does your wife
think? How the rest of the family feel.
Yeah.
Well, we have a two-story home, and none of my phones go past that bottom step leading upstairs. So I guess that probably explains it. She's fairly okay about it. She doesn't mind. And some of the phones, you know, she does like them. She does appreciate, you know, the design, some of the Art Deco things. She does appreciate that, but they have their place, and that's where they stay. I have a fairly big display room downstairs, and to be honest, a lot of them are in my shed out the back. So,
does your wife have a collection of any kind?
Yeah, she has some ceramics and, you know, a few nice glassware pieces. Our house is collectible, really. It's a relatively modern house, but we have all antique furniture in it. You know, we have all genuine timber furniture. Really, the only two modern pieces in the home are, you know, a brand new double bed and, you know, a nice soft leather lounge with recliner things in front of the TV.
Well, I just want to come to your house and sit down and watch telly now.
Yeah,
play with some phones.
You've got to be comfortable when you're watching TV.
You do.
Yeah.
Dave, thank you for chatting with us this afternoon.
You're very welcome. Can I give a plug?
Please do. Go on. I suppose. Depends what you're going to say. As to how much trouble I get in.
On the last weekend of this month, which is the 24th and 25th of July, we have a show at Pimpama, halfway between Brisbane and the Gold Coast, Saturday and Sunday. Great show. Well, there'll be some antique phones there, but it's a good show run by the South Coast Restoration Society. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's steam engines and, you know, big toys for big boys, but we have got antique phones there as well.
Okay, so the 24th and 25th of July, Pimpama. Where at Pimpama?
It's on Rifle Range Road. Look, you've got me now. I can't remember what exit it is on the highway.
That's okay. Just as long as people have a general idea of where it is.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So the South Coast Restoration Society show, 24th and 25th of July at Pimpama.
Yep.
Thank you for that.